The economy is at full employment, and that means layoffs are coming. And in today's show, you'll learn why it also means a bear market is coming. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today. As we see the labor market start to pick up and the economy start to recover, and investors are looking forward to another big year in stocks, then perhaps the opposite is about to happen. In today's show, we're going to start off with the manufacturing sector and go all the way through the employment data, where you're going to find out that perhaps a bear market is looming and unemployment lines are about to get longer. Let's kick this off with a story from Bloomberg, where we see the U.S. manufacturing gate falls while price pressures ease. And the Institute for Supply Management's gauge of December factory activity fell to 58.7, the lowest since January 2021, meaning that the factory sector, the growth is slowing from 61.1 the prior month. According to data released on Tuesday, readings above 50 indicate expansion. The median forecast in a Bloomberg survey of economists called for 60, so below trend or below expected growth. The pullback in the headline figure obscures strength in the underlying components. The group's gauges of supplier deliveries and prices paid for materials, while still elevated, both fell to their lowest levels in more than a year. Improved delivery times and slower gains in input prices typically indicate softer demand. However, the latest decline suggests capacity constraints are beginning to loosen, and that's a welcome progress for manufacturers who have struggled to keep up with demand because of material shortage, hiring challenges, and transportation bottlenecks. And here you can see from the ISM Manufacturing PMI, there's a couple of important things we should note, that it peaked back in March, and I want to point out that there was something else that peaked back in March, and that was Treasury yields, which is really consistent in what you should expect. When the manufacturing sector peaks, well, that means the stock market is going to likely peak historically within 0 to 3 months. Well, Treasury yields peak before that. So what we see now is the Treasury yields nailed the peak in the manufacturing ISM survey. Well, what about the equity market? Well, let's go forward and see that more recently we see some interim peaks in September and November, suggesting that perhaps the peak in the stock market is now behind us and that a bear market looms. Let's keep going, because look at from the employment standpoint. Of course, as we discussed, that unemployment lines are likely to get longer. Look at the percentage of firms that are seeing higher employment growth. Well, that number is slowing from its recent peak in October at 21% of firms down to 15. So fewer firms are bringing on more workers. And at a time where we're also seeing prices paid, which the common view is that inflation is going to skyrocket higher, but the ISM manufacturing prices paid, which is input prices coming in to the manufacturers, is actually price growth is slowing, and that leads to CPI lower by 3 months, here according to Macro Markets Daily's chart, which is spot on accurate in terms of what we look at. It also means that when prices paid goes down, it also means Treasury yields go down. Let's keep rolling, because we'll head right into the services PMI, and we see another problem here, that the services PMI went from a print of 69.1 in November to 62, a pretty big drop, showing the services sector is also expanding now at a little bit slower rate than it was in November, starting a perhaps a new trend of weaker growth in the services sector. And it doesn't get much better as we dig under the covers, because when we find out that business activity, which is an important driver of future growth in the services sector, we only see now 34.5% of firms showing a higher business activity compared to 45% of firms back in November. That's a huge shift lower. And looking from an employment standpoint, well, we do see the services sector, we notice that 30% of firms are hiring, because the services sector compared to the manufacturing sector has a huge problem. It can't get enough employees. But maybe that is going to be a problem that's going to go away pretty soon. Let's check this out, because what do we see from this headline in Bloomberg? That a record share of U.S. small businesses have raised wages in December. So all of a sudden you're seeing now wages increase, but is demand for employers, for employment, going to go down? That is the question. A record 48% of U.S. small business owners said they raised compensation in December, and nearly a third said they plan to do so in the coming months, said the National Federation of Independent Businesses on Thursday. And of course, we then go into the unemployment insurance data from this week, looking back to last week, and what do we see? That initial claims were hovering right at 200,000, 207,000, which is a really good number. In fact, historically, as I'm going to show you here shortly, it's a really low number. In fact, when it gets too low, Well, it usually means layoffs are coming, but let's keep looking deeper into this, because what do we find out? The continued claims. Well, we note that there's now 1.7 million of those, down 200,000 from last week, but there's something missing here, and that is the pandemic unemployment claims that we've seen for so long now. And according to the footnotes, that ongoing claims for PUA and PEUC, those are pandemic unemployment assistance, are no longer included in this news release. And the ongoing claims for these programs represent activity for periods prior to the program's expiration in September 6, 2021. Claims will be continued to post it online. And what that's telling you is the claims are starting to shrink, and they're not important enough now to put in there, meaning that we are finally at the end of fiscal stimulus. It's all gone. And with fiscal stimulus a big driver of the economy since March of last year, well, that doesn't bode well. But that's not the only factor that could lead to longer unemployment lines. First, let me show you this. We have initial unemployment claims, and I've circled 200,000 so you can just see how unusual it is to see 200,000 of initial claims in a given week. In fact, other than going into 2016 and 2018, we haven't seen that since, well, the late 1960s. Usually things start to go wrong when unemployment claims fall to the 300,000 range, but here we are at 200,000. But there is another factor, and it's crude oil. In fact, when crude oil prices get too high, it actually has a drag on the economy. And most people don't see it that way. They see rising crude as reflationary, as good for the economy. But really, high energy prices, well, they are good until they're not. Well, check this out. As you see, looking in, going into the 1990 recession, what happened? Initial claims were coming down into the 300,000 mark, and crude oil prices started to rise, and no, lo and behold, it was too tight for the economy, leading to higher initial claims. And what do you see coming into the dot-com bubble? Again, initial claims coming down below the 300,000 mark as everyone was becoming a tech entrepreneur and web expert. And meanwhile, crude oil started to signal that, hey, there is perhaps reflation and a strong enough economy. But guess what? The economy wasn't strong enough to handle those higher crude prices, and sure enough, led to higher initial claims. And once again, you see coming out of the dot-com bubble, as everyone became real estate experts, initial claims again came down to the 300,000 mark, but this time due to the economic growth and, of course, thanks to the Fed, we saw that higher crude oil prices could be sustained until, well, they couldn't. And all of a sudden, as they got up into near the $80 per barrel mark, which is an issue now going forward, what happens? Initial claims rise along with crude oil, and that means the economic expansion comes to an end. Well, then look what happens after the great financial crisis. Crude oil prices then recover and stay relatively high up into the hundreds of dollars a barrel, but the economy is able to handle it again due to low interest rates and the Federal Reserve keeping financial conditions easy. And just as they perhaps crude oil prices get too tight, they collapse, keeping the expansion going and claims down here at this minus two or down at 200,000 level. Well, with them now moving upwards into the $80 per barrel ranges we're seeing today, well, it tells us that perhaps the unemployment lines are about to increase. And let's take a look at the crude oil inventory data from this week, because it's telling you that this is possible. Not just possible, it's probable. In fact, check this out. Crude oil inventories fell minus 2.14 million barrels. But what about the inventory levels? Distillate stocks, this, think of this as your jet fuel, up 4.4 million barrels. How about gasoline inventories? 10 million barrel increase, telling you that consumers are indeed rejecting higher energy prices because they can't afford it. Now, if you're concerned about your portfolio in a rising unemployment environment, well, you shouldn't be. Check out Portfolio Shield. But let's keep going on, because we've got the unemployment data from today, and it tells us, well, perhaps we are indeed at full employment. Let's head forward to this headline from Bloomberg, that U.S. jobless rate falls as wages jump, adding pressure on the Fed. And why is this wage issue an issue? It's simple, because as wages go up and demand goes away, what will employers do to cut? They'll have to cut to help their overhead. That's why higher wages may not necessarily be a good thing for everyone. And we see payrolls rose 199,000 in December, less than half projection. Unemployment rate fell below 4% to 3.9% as wage growth exceeded the forecast. Boy, giving the Fed all the ammo it needs. And here you see the median estimate forecast was 450,000 jobs created, but we missed that by more than half. And missed the unemployment rate forecast too. And the jobs report is made up of two surveys, one of households and one of employers. And while the survey of businesses showed disappointing growth, the household survey posted a big improvement. Well, keep this in mind. The household survey was actually lagging. The headline survey is playing catch up now, so don't let the news fool you on this. But let's keep going, because there is one key thing in this whole report. It's not that average hourly earnings were up 0.6%. It's not that they're up year over year on 4.7. Those are great numbers, but the 199 is a miss. The 3.9% unemployment rate, which got clipped off here, is an issue. But how about the participation rate unchanged, meaning 61.9% of all eligible people to participate in the workforce is all that's participating. So higher wages, which should be bringing people back, are not. But perhaps the workforce participation rate is about to plummet. Of course, that would also bring the unemployment lines higher. Check out this chart here. We have the labor force participation rate in blue against the velocity of money, telling us that money and financial conditions are indeed tight. And usually the labor force participation rate, when it gets disconnected, tends to head lower because there just isn't enough money and money isn't moving fast enough through the economy to sustain the level of employment. This will be a big problem because next week, the Fed executes its double taper and looks to, at the end of the month, wrap up its balance sheet, perhaps tighten. And with that, we'll wrap up today's show. I appreciate you being fans. Appreciate you watching. We'll see you soon. I'm Steve Van Meter. Bye now. The content of this video provides educational information. It's not intended to provide investor or other advice. This video is not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation to buy or sell any financial instrument or to participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter in personal capacity. Business video without a moment do not affect the view of Atlas Financial Advice, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.